In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In our gospel lesson this morning, we heard the story of Jesus healing a man who was deaf and with an impediment in his speech. We're told that Jesus put his fingers in his ears and spat and touched the man's tongue. Then he looked to heaven and said, "Be opened." The writer of Mark's gospel tells us that immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. What an amazing event that must have been. The people were astounded beyond measure, we're told. They said, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." A man who was obviously born as a deaf mute is made to hear and to speak. What a miracle. It's no wonder that the people who witnessed this miraculous event could not help telling everyone they saw about what they had seen. One can only question why such miracles are not evident today. The church that me and my family attended many years ago before I left for seminary was St. Mary's Church in Columbia, South Carolina. It was a very active and vibrant parish that at the time was only about 20 years old. St. Mary's was located in an area that was growing very rapidly at the time, so there were quite a few young families. And those families themselves were also growing with lots of babies. One family was especially excited as they anticipated the birth of their first child. This family had always been very active in the church. And the couple represented one of the first second-generation families in this relatively young parish. They were known and loved by all, and the whole parish was anxiously awaiting the birth of this baby. When the young mother went to the doctor for some routine tests shortly before the baby was to be born, the doctor informed her that something was terribly wrong. They couldn't tell the extent of her difficulties, but this young lady was warned that her baby was probably going to be retarded and that she may have some serious birth defects as well. When little Amanda was born, things looked really grim. The parents were told that she was extremely critical and that she probably wouldn't live through the night. The tests indicated that there was very little brain activity. The rector was called in to baptize the baby and to anoint her because they were certain that she would not live through the night. However, someone forgot to tell Amanda that she wasn't supposed to live. She made it through the night and then through her first week and beyond. For the first few weeks, she was in the neonatal intensive care unit. And as the days passed, they discovered that Amanda had very little brain function. Not only was she going to be severely retarded, but they found out that she would be deaf and blind as well. Her parents and her grandparents were devastated. And some people even wondered aloud if it wouldn't have been better if Amanda had simply died in childbirth. But Amanda wanted desperately to experience whatever it was that life had to offer her. It was amazing to watch that little parish and the larger community in the weeks and the months that followed. During the times when it didn't seem possible that Amanda could possibly live, there were constant prayer vigils. Her parents and grandparents were loved and nurtured by everyone. There were tears of compassion. When this worshiping community learned that Amanda had beaten the odds and was going to live, there were tears of joy. As the first weeks of anticipation and fear flowed into long months of dealing with the reality of Amanda's disabilities, people came to sit with Amanda so that her parents could get much needed breaks. Parishioners came forward to offer help with the enormous medical bills and the expenses for additional supplies that were needed for such a special child. St. Mary's had been touched deeply by a precious child who asked for nothing but needed everything. The outpouring of love that one could sense during that first year of Amanda's life was very moving. It had a powerful effect on the entire congregation. This little child, who seemingly had no power, had helped an entire congregation experience the love of Christ in new and mysterious ways. Lives were changed by this little girl who could do nothing but trust that others would love her and care for her. There were certainly very difficult times for Amanda and her family, but they were buoyed by the support of a community that rallied around them in every way that they possibly could. There's so much that we can learn from Amanda and those like her in our society. They have tremendous power. They have the power to mobilize entire congregations and, in fact, entire communities. Before I left for seminary, Amanda's grandmother gave me a gift that I still treasure. It's a book by Christopher DeVink. The book is entitled The Power of the Powerless, A Brother's Legacy of Love. This book is a very touching book, and I highly recommend it to all of you. It was inspired by DeVink's love for his severely retarded brother. And in this book, DeVink tells how the love of his brother Oliver, who was able to do nothing on his own, inspired him to write a book that has since touched the lives of presidents and even world leaders. Those who seemingly have no power at all have the power to show us much about living into the kingdom of God. If only we could trust as completely as Amanda. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to show his great love for us. All that God has ever required of us is that we love him in return and love one another in his name. Fitz Allison, in his book, The Cruelty of Heresy, says, "It is not that we have got to love, but that we get to love. Jesus does not call us to a grim attempt to attain. He offers us a joyful opportunity to respond." We don't have to win the race. We don't have to earn our acceptance. We're simply called to accept how deeply we are loved and to respond in love, joyfully, as we recognize that just like Amanda and Oliver, we are totally dependent on the God who first loved us. God in Christ touched a man who was deaf and mute, and he spoke plainly. Those of us who knew and loved this wonderful family at St. Mary's had prayed desperately for a miracle. And Jesus put his hands on little Amanda And she shouts to us, to me and to you, of the powerful love of God in Christ Jesus. Amanda is indeed God's miracle. She does not have a voice, and yet she has the miraculous ability to speak to us of the awesome power of God's love. It is no wonder that we cannot keep from telling everyone of the miracle that Jesus has done. The miracles didn't stop when Jesus was resurrected. They are all around us every day. We only need to open our eyes to see God's hand at work. What are the miracles that you can't help telling to all who will listen? They are there. Jesus places his hands on your ears. He touches your tongue and he says, "Ephatha, be opened." Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Amen.